Sitting next to me is a dear friend of mine, Renee Fritton. She has been so kind to take time to come talk to us. One of the reasons why I've asked Renee to come on to the show was because this is a very successful woman in her life personally and professionally. And I've known her since I was in third grade. We went to St. Simon and Jude together, and her mother was actually my third grade teacher. And we've been friends ever since. But I love the fact I'm all about empowering women and teaching women how to be independent and learn how to be successful. And this woman has definitely done it in my book. So, and one of the other things too, I want to add, one of the other things that Renee and I share in common is that we definitely have a propensity towards making sure that we have enough money to take care of ourselves, meaning that we don't believe that we are going to depend on someone to take care of ourselves. We're going to figure out a way to do it ourselves. And we both have. And that's why we're here. So Renee, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, okay. So recently also, you were the VP of sales for Experian, which is a credit reporting agency. You've had a very successful career at that, almost 30 years of that. And you've just recently walked away from that entire career. And now you're moving on to other things. This is going to be a two-part series. We'll talk about that part of your career later. But let's first talk about the establishment. We went to grade school together. We went to this grade school, St. Simon and Jude. It's a pretty modest grade school. And I will say that it's true. As we are kids, the things that we learn as children profoundly affect us for the rest of our lives. And one of the things is security with money. So let's talk about that. Renee, let's talk a little bit about when, first of all, we'll tell a little bit about when we met each other in grade school, but let's talk a little bit about your attitude and your way of being when it came to money and your story about learning that you really had to take care of yourself.
Yes. So, you know, I think with anything, right, part of our wiring starts with how we were raised and the people that were raising us and surrounded us, not just parents, but grandparents and mentors. You know, my parents divorced when I was very young. It's not a sad story. They both remarried, and I considered myself very blessed for having two sets of parents. But my mom was by herself for a while, and she was a Catholic school teacher. So she, I think when my parents got divorced, she made $6,000 a year.
Yeah, private school teachers make a lot less than public school teachers, period. So, it's ridiculous.
But my mom, you know, we saw her she had to get very creative to give us the things that we had, but we never went without, or at least we didn't feel like we were without. But we recognized the struggle. But I think my mom, you know, taught us from a very early age that if you want something, you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. But also you don't spend more than you have. And
that's a very important thing.
I being in the credit industry, and we can talk about this later, and looking, I remember the very first credit report I actually physically looked at. The individual had $100,000 in credit card debt, you know, credit card outstanding balances. And this was in the 90s. So I trying to wrap my head around
how you don't do that.
Less than my salary, right? So we can talk about that on another episode. But, you know, and my father was in sales. He was in real estate in Arizona through the late 70s and 80s. And so peaks and valleys of that. But I also, you know, recognize that, you know, my dad's a salesperson and I'm very much like my father. And so I recognized there are unique ways to make money. Especially when you use your skills. Mm-hmm. And so my very first job out of college was with, at the time, TRW. And, you know, my brother is a financial planner. He works for Morgan Stanley. And so my very first paycheck, you know, I had to max out my 401k. But, you know, I always had this voice inside my head around how I managed money. And so I think between, you know, my parents' influence, you know, all sides of that, right? Not everything is a good story, mm-hmm. but you observe and you make decisions. But I think the biggest piece for me personally, and really part of the story that I tell around me, and you touched on this, is that money equals independence. And it's not abundant amount of money, but it's more having the security, having the peace of mind. I would see people in my life stress about money. And I didn't ever want to be in that position. But it's a delicate balance because I see people that hoard their money so much that you don't live life.
Yeah, they don't enjoy it. Right? Yes, that's hard to watch.
It is. It is. And so I feel very fortunate to have had a little bit of all sides of it. I was also influenced by a single grandmother, your kindergarten teacher.
Yes, yes, yes. She was a kindergarten teacher at St. Simon and Jude.
So, and she was a badass.
She was. She really was.
I saw her do a lot of things on her own. And so the message, which I probably didn't know at such a young age, but really that you don't have to have a man or whatever.
To provide for you.
To provide for you. And I didn't ever want to be in a position. And ladies, it's a blessing and a curse because breaking that independence, I'm in a beautiful relationship. I absolutely was given a gift and waited a long time for.
And he's a great guy.
My person. Yeah. He is amazing.
Yes, you like him.
But it's really, you know, a path that led me to where I am today. And there were a lot of influences along the way.
Yep, I agree. So one of the things, I'm going to bring up something kind of a little sidebar, but thank you, first of all, for sharing all that. I think that's fantastic. But one of the things also is I think with our generation, if you think about it, we were born in the 70s. We were free. We could get an abortion. I'm not getting politics, but we could get an abortion. We could vote. We could do anything. And for 50 years, we've had freedom. And we were the first generation of women that were told, well, maybe you don't need to marry a man to take care of, because only men could work for how many years? Women were not allowed to work. It wasn't considered a thing. So you have all these years, and then boom, the 70s came, and all these women before voted all these laws so we could have freedom and choices. So although my mother said, you need to marry a man, a doctor or a dentist. And I said, no, mama, I don't, because I can get an education and I don't need a man. That was one of the things, the tension between my mom and I. That wasn't because she thought I was lesser than, although that's what I thought she was saying. It was, that was all she knew.
Mm.
So I find that this is interesting. And one of the things that I admire about you, Renee, is when we get together, you're one of those friends where I can talk money with you, right? Like guys do. They go to the golf course and they talk about investments and investing in stock markets. Yeah, we have those conversations too. And there are a lot of women that have those conversations now. And there are a lot of women that know about investing, interest rate, compound interest, stock markets, and all those things. So that's one of the things that I admire about you, is that not only did you have a mindful respect for money and know how to earn money, you also know how to manage it. And you mentioned that quite a bit. So I really admire that. But that's another thing. We were talking about women and empowering women. That's the one thing I see with our generation, the women that were born in the 70s. We had the most freedom.
I agree. And I mean, look, it's when you want to learn something, I mean, and there's people that are 50 years old and they're just discovering their relationship with money isn't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a time to start, and that's right now. And, you know, it's not about how much money you make or the opportunities you've been given. There's always going to be a reason why something didn't pan out, work in your favor, whatever. But if you're listening to this and you're following the Smart Living podcast, you know, there's something in you that your relationship with money is important, right? And there's a variety. All of our lists of what's important and what drives us and motivates us is different, right? We're all different in how we were raised, different in where we are today, and different in where we want to go. I was surrounded by a lot of mentors that helped me understand how to make money work for me, right? My dad was in real estate. And so very early on, you know, I recognized, gosh, I could buy this asset and in 5 years, it's going to double, right?
Yeah.
And so I started very quickly to do the math. And I was very fortunate to buy a few properties that were rental properties.
You paid attention like I did. I pay attention to my dad too.
Yes. Yes.
And I bought properties also.
Yes. Yes. So, and you're, you know, again, not everyone is in a position to do that, but I think just like anything, when you want to do something different, right? What do they say? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome? Results,
no, right? That's insanity.
Find someone that does it right. Not someone that makes $1 million a year, but find someone that you respect their relationship with money.
Renee, that's fantastic. Like, that's so good. You almost gave me goosebumps.
Oh.
That's fantastic.
Not almost. I see them.
Yeah, you did. because that was such good advice. That's true. Finding somebody that, and that's what we both have done in our lives without really realizing it. Like, my father respected money. My brother respected money. The girlfriends that I have in my life, they respect money. Everybody that is really close to me, the one common denominator is they respect money, and I can go to them to ask advice. So I've brought these people in because of this thing about respecting money. So that is really huge. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. I didn't even think about that. Good stuff there.
Anything you want, right? Yeah. I mean, find someone that inspires you. When I left Experian, you know, one of the most rewarding things for me, I mean, I had a beautiful career. I can geek out talking about credit reports.
And she will on the next episode.
I really am very passionate about credit. But credit is a gift. And when you take advantage of anything, it is a luxury, and you have to treat it wisely. And, you know, it's kind of like having babies. Anyone can have a baby for the most part, right? Well, not everyone can have credit, right? And so I think when you respect the process, you respect it once you have it, you covet that credit, and you want to protect it because it's part of your brand, right? Yeah. It's very hard to go buy a house or a car or rent a car or get utilities without having good credit. And so that just speaks to the demeanor of who we are, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I can really get into what credit does for me. When I was single and I was dating, if you had bad credit, we weren't dating. Because that is a thing about if you make a commitment to pay a debt back, and now granted, there are so many circumstances that lead to that, but when you're dating, that's like, you know, you're kind of like filtering things out. So, and if you're making commitment, like you're dating someone that has a habit of borrowing money and not paying it back. Now, granted, sometimes there could be medical issues that come in that, but if it's a pattern, you have to say, well, are they good with commitment in general? Are they good with saying that they're going to follow through on what they do? I'm sorry, but credit is establishment. And we'll talk about more of that in the next episode.
It's true. And I'll tell you, it's funny because, you know, I am in a very serious committed relationship. We're talking about marriage. And, you know, when I've been here in the past, not anywhere where I am today, but there was always a reluctancy to talk about credit or finances in general. And if you are dating someone or you're in a relationship or even if you're already married, don't shy away from money and credit, because when you wait to have that conversation, I mean, look, why do people get divorced? Infidelity and finances, yep, 100%. Right? So I think don't, even just with friends, like, it's very taboo to talk about money. And the only way that you learn is to have conversations.
Right. But find the people that you trust.
100%.
Find people that are on the same page with you. Feel them out. See how they respond. And at the same time, also, you know, if you're good friends with somebody, you know, I always think to myself, like, this is kind of weird and I probably shouldn't share this, but I'd look at this way. You know, when you don't know somebody and they're a stranger and, you know, someone's trying to get into your space or whatever, some of the things that I always ask myself is, what will this person gain from me? So meaning that, for example, like, you know, my partner. So there are times where it's like, you know, we were in situations where, you know, I had to maybe give him personal information for my finances, where if he had that information, he could take advantage of me, right? But I trusted him. And I also thought to myself, but he's not in a position where he needs anything that I have. He's established. He's got good credit. So his motivation is not to come after me. And that's one of the things I kind of tend to feel out people, like, if you need something from me, I might be a little bit less apprehensive. Gosh, I hope that didn't come off bad.
No, I understand that. It's interesting.
It's a strategy.
One of my personal triggers in life, and I would have to talk to my therapist about where this comes from a little more. Is I'm triggered when I feel taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think, you know, I try to be very generous where I can, but I also... I see that that is just some people's MO.
Yeah.
And it's painful to see.
Yeah.
And so I'm aware of it, but when I see it, it's just, it frustrates me, because I think, going back to kind of our upbringing, right? I mean, I was taught to figure it out on my own, mm-hmm. and not only to lean on anyone, but to do what's right, because mm-hmm. that comes back to you.
It does. It right? does. 100%. It does. But Renee, one of the things you're also really good at is you're really good at networking. You're really good at connecting dots amongst women. You meet a woman and then you'll meet another woman and then you'll meet another one. You'll be like, ooh, this is a great group. Let's get them all together because these women bring this together. So you're really good about empowering women also. So I'm really excited what this next phase of your life is going to be. I'm really interested to see what you're going to do. I think it's going to be something amazing for sure.
I feel very blessed and very excited. I busted my tail to get here, and I am very excited to see what's next.
Yeah, I am too. But I just want to talk a little bit more and give people just a little bit more nuggets. So let's just really quickly go through in terms of, you were talking about real estate. So you watched your dad doing sales. So you knew that real estate was a way of making money. So besides the fact that you had your career, you always established, number one is you got to have a job and you got to have income coming in. But what you also realize is that you also understand the thing about having passive income. Mm-hmm. So can you give us a little nugget about your way of viewing that and how you do that? Because by you having passive income, you've also are able, as such as myself, to leave a very lucrative career and do something else because of passive income or choices that you've made financially, period.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things that led me to leave my corporate career. So, you know, starting with kind of the real estate thing, I mean, my father was a realtor. Real estate, you know, was his life for probably 20, 30 years. And, you know, I was renting an apartment. I was making a decent income. I had a big girl job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad pushed me along a little harder than most to get a house. And so I was very fortunate to find a perfect house for, you know, where I was at financially at the time.
And how old were you? What year was that? If you don't mind me asking, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to...
I want to say late 90s, maybe mid 90s.
So you got a house cheap.
I did. And then I sold it at the height of the market.
So you made a little bit of profit.
But I also bought at the height of the market.
Okay.
So,
and that was relative.
Yes, absolutely. So, but over time, you know, I could see again that there was an asset that you could make a significant amount of money on within a couple years, right?
That's separate from your career.
That is separate from my career.
So she still has that money, a paycheck coming in. So she's got that security and she's going to that job. But at the same time, she's also establishing something else on the side.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had a career. I was in sales. I was an individual contributor at the time. And so when I realized that, you know, I had these opportunities to spike my salary with mm-hmm. commission and had a few really good years, you know, again, I had a brother who would talk me off the ledge.
Financial ledge,
or
call it.
Give me a reality check when I wanted to go, you know,
buy that new car.
Whatever right. I wanted at the time.
And you can't.
But I made that money work for me rather right. than splurging on things that had little return.
Monetary value.
That's right.
This is a key factor here. So when you get that big check once in a while, it'll come across where you get a big sales and you get a big chunk of cash. Okay, take just a fraction of that, you know, because you want to reward yourself, but a fraction, and you put the rest of that chunk in the bank to make it work for something else that you want to do.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. 100%. And that's hard, right? I mean, again, it's a balance, right? We're not working for a paycheck. Like, you got to reward yourself in certain ways, but like anything, it's moderation.
Moderation. Key. Not, oh, I deserve this. I'm going to blow the whole, you know, commission check that was, you know, $12,000. No, it's $1,000. Put 11 in the bank.
Yeah. So, you know, but again, going back to my career, you know, I've been grinding it out for many years. I never had children, so, you know, never got married. So right. I was kind of married to my corporate career. Right. And I loved it. You know, I have encountered so many amazing mentors and, you know, mentees that I've worked with through the years. And, you know, I always kind of had a number in my head of when I wanted to retire. And so I have started thinking about it over the last couple of years. But I also... I got to a point where I thought, this can't be it. I don't want to grind it out, retire, yeah. and that's that, right? Yep. You know, unfortunately, I had two individuals on my team that passed away from cancer.
Oh, wow. Profound.
Within a two-week period.
Oh, my God, Renee.
So it was a lot of things coming together that is the reality that life is short. And I've had a beautiful career. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Right. But I also know that life is short and there's got to be more.
Right, and you're not retired. I really need you to stop using that because retired means that you're done. You're not
done. Can I just say it for like
okay,
a week?
Okay, fine, say it for a week. You're retired. But no, you're just exploring. And the good thing is that you have many different sources of income. You've allowed yourself breathing room. You've worked your buns off. You've made smart decisions. You did without for many years so you could do with now, right? That's the key. So I want to get back to one thing. So this is the house thing. I'm still on that. So you bought this condo, you sold it, mm-hmm. you took that profit, bought another one. Mm-hmm. But then when did you buy your investment properties? When did we come across that? Because there was one, you had a house and you didn't sell that house and then you bought another house.
I did. So my second home purchase was in a little community in Central Phoenix. And I was there probably 7 or 8 years. Ended up buying another house. I just wanted a little bit of a bigger house. Well, around that time, there was another property in the complex that I was in. And the woman had passed away. She was an original owner. And right. so I was very lucky to get in there and buy at a time.
Right. I wouldn't say lucky. Here's the key thing. The reason why you were able to buy that condo was because every time you had bonuses or you got a little extra money, you put it in the bank. And then when an opportunity came for an investment where you ran the numbers and it made sense, you had the down payment.
True. But I think there's two things here. Okay. Relationships are key, right? Back to your point of networking, I'm a relationship person, but I also, I was on a mission, right? And I knew, you know, I was surrounded by people that had real estate, you know, my father's friends seeing it. And I was in a position where I knew that house was going to go on the market. I wasn't afraid to do a remodel. I had remodeled two homes on my own. So there's a little bit of fearlessness in there, mm-hmm. a lot of smarts, yeah. and a lot of being at the right place at the right time.
Okay.
Right. And so I capitalized on that.
Right. Yes. And so there you go. I'm glad that you told that story. And I really hope, especially in this particular podcast episode that we're doing, I really hope a lot of young women are listening to this that are out there, you know, working and feeling like, you know, I'm just working and what am I going to do? You know, I'm living paycheck by paycheck and this and that, but take a little bit of that money if you can, or do without and put a little bit away. You know, passive income is key. So I think that that's great. Well, Renee, I know we're probably going to get ready to wrap this up, I would say. So next week, we'll have another podcast uploaded. We're going to talk a little bit more about the credit bureau, what to look for with credit. This is going to be very valuable information. Renee is going to take time out of her day to educate us on all of these things and a little bit more about things. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. With Renee and myself on just basically us revealing a little bit about who we are and where we're at. And by no means do we think we're great. We're not perfect. Our lives aren't.
I feel like I'm in third grade sitting next to Daphne
totally.
Right now.
We totally have this energy. It is true. The core of who you are when you're a kid, it stays with you. Because when I'm around you, Renee really sees the goofy Daphne, not the cool, polished, you know, socially, you know, experienced. You see the goofy Daphne. So thanks, Renee.
Right back at you.
Okay. And you guys, if you want to check out more information, I'll have all the notes and everything about this podcast posted on my blog at smartshopperdaphne.com. And don't forget, I'm Daphne Monroe, your smart shopper. We'll see you next week.